Welcome y'all to Backwards Obscura, a podcast dedicated to the lore, legends, and myths surrounding the creatures that may lurk in your backyard. My name's Hewitt.
I'm Chris. So how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Got a cup of tea, just like you, Earl Grey. You've gotten me hooked on putting milk in it.
You know, I think it's a British thing, I think. I don't know.
We'll say this, whole milk, better than the skim milk.
I just like putting, I was going to say creamy nature of it.
You like the cream?
I like it when it's a little bit creamy.
The creamy nature of tea.
Good to have after this week.
It's been a long week. I've had a bout of the stomach flu.
I had something similar, but I started this week off with the root canal, which is... Okay, so I was sitting there. My endodontist was like looking at the scans, or not the scans, the x-rays. And he said, yeah, this seems pretty standard. It's not that bad. I don't know if you've ever gotten a root canal.
Nope.
They put a little bit of a thing over your tooth to where it's just that tooth exposed. Then they'll put like a ring around your tooth. Very uncomfortable. Then they get this chisel-like drill and just go to town. And I had my earbuds in and I was trying to listen to something. You can't hear anything.
No.
I hear them go up for a second, then go back down and say, oh, this is a lot worse. You almost lost this tooth. And then he just keeps going. And he just said that one thing the entire time. And I'm like, oh God, what does that mean? What is that?
It's like, ooh. You never want to hear that from your doctor or mechanic, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like, oh, it's a lot worse. It's bad. And then he finished. You know, he took off the... God damn. After everything was complete, he took off the clamp and he took off, like, the little tarp thing. You know, he adjusted the bite and he took an x-ray. And I'm sitting there, like, it didn't hurt throughout the entire procedure. But once he took off everything, it just started radiating pain. And he does the after work checkup. And he's like, okay, so this is how it is. You need to get a crown on it, blah, blah, blah. And pain just starts slowly building up. And I'm still numbed, by the way. And they're like, are you okay? It's like, yeah, I might need some medication. They're like, they give me two Advils, two fat-ass Advils and two fat-ass Tylenol. And take that. I go immediately home. As I'm going home, it's getting worse. Just pain radiating up from my tooth into my face. I go in my bed, cry a little bit, and then I pass out. And I wake up, I'm fine. I'm fine through most of the day. I get home. Pain again. Just... all pain, no gains. And it was like that for 3 days until finally now it's actually, I don't feel it at all, but holy shit. And on top of that, you know, I had to get my car fixed. It's still doing something. I don't know what it's doing. I'm just, my mechanic's like, just drive it until it gets worse. So it's like, yeah, cool.
Solid deal there, bro.
It's like that. He's a good mechanic. It's just like, it's a fix that you can't do anything about it until it gets worse, apparently. But it's not like a big fix. It's just, you gotta wait for it to...
If you fix one part of it, it's still gonna break when the next thing breaks.
Yeah. So, and I think we both had sick days, too.
Yeah, I was having a great time. I wasn't intending to miss any of January this school year. Like, yeah, Wednesday, solid. 3 a.m. Thursday, wake up. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And then it's just after that, it was 48 hours of absolute terrible tummy time.
You never want terrible tummy time.
No, especially not at 3 in the morning.
Oh, definitely not.
Also, not with a small, like, not with a five-month-old that's like, hey, you got to hold me. I'm like, yeah, but I'm sick. Bro, you don't have a choice. I'm like, this is true.
It's like, that's true, kid.
I'm looking at, that's true. I have to poop now. Yeah, I'm here too. Then doing that thing, like whenever you have kids, eventually, there will be a moment that you're going to be sitting there with either a baby carrier or a changing mat and a baby just sitting on it. You're gonna be like, sorry, bro,
I gotta do my thing.
It's a, this happened. Coffee hit too early. But to get off of that, let's get into some of the scary stuff.
So this is a follow up to our Foo Fillet episode.
Yeah, it's follow up to Foo Fillet, or the Will-O-Wisp, talking about ghost lights.
Yeah, this is something, I guess, as rambunctious teens back in the day, there was always a place with ghost lights.
They're across the entire South. I have yet to hear of a single state in the South that does not have this type of story. Pretty sure a lot of the rural stories up North, there's a ghost light somewhere, because it's a lovable trope, and it's one of the easiest stories to tell.
Yeah, and it extends beyond like Swamp and Foo Fillet and all that, because you hear about like mysterious lights happening in like buildings and old hotels and everything.
Right, and tonight I got three different ghost light stories for you. Two up in Arkansas, not too far away from us, and one just down the road. So I'm going to start off with the Crossett and Goudon ghost lights.
Yeah, Crossett's now, just...
Yeah, Crossett's, what, hour...
Yeah, about an hour away.
Hour 30, hour 45, something like that. It's not hard to get there.
Of course, anyone listening in Europe is like, that's super far. It's like, nah. We used to drive like 16 hours to get places.
Yeah. There's stories of one in Crossett, and there's one in Goudon, Arkansas. I'm not entirely sure where that is. I didn't Google it, but every time I looked up the Crossett ghost light, it kept popping up with also Goudon. So, big thing here is that in Crossett, there's an old railway track. In Crossett, they pulled it up, so it's a site where the old railway track used to be. The light appears about 3 foot off the ground, and it's either blue, green, or yellow light. When you start getting close to it, it vanishes and appears once you've passed it. Kind of like it has performance anxiety, or maybe it's like, oh crap, they noticed me, kind of thing.
That always seems to be a thing with the ghost lights, is they disappear as you get closer, or like you can't really approach them, usually.
Now, the thing that's a little bit different with this than some of the other stories we've talked about, because I know that anybody that's listening to the podcast is like, okay, Hewitt's an asshole because he's always crapping on like every supernatural thing. Like I try to debunk it. I talk about how silly it is, that kind of thing. But
we always talk about, I mean, we don't come through this as like believers. We talk about this as skeptics and people that are, we say Louisiana skeptic, but we are skeptic.
True, but I mean, here's the thing. There's actual documented proof of the Crossett light. There's videos. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the videos on YouTube are either behind a paywall because they're connected to some type of site, or it's a video, or it's like, and I don't mean this to be mean with the accent, but there's a video and it's obviously a dad messing with his daughter driving down the road next to the railroad track, and the light comes on. And they go, Daddy! Daddy, no, Daddy, stop. Dad, turn around. Daddy, no, Daddy, I'm scared. And it starts getting to Diddy.
Diddy.
So, I mean, we all know the accents we have down here, but it's, I watched that one and I'm not going to lie, I snorted laughing so hard because of it. Also, there's a couple of videos and you can tell it's somebody with a floodlight. But, I mean, there's documented evidence that this light does exist. But the thing is, it's also appeared on the Travel Channel on a show called Paranormal Caught on Camera. Now, that's really about all there is to the Crossett light story. But, and this is, I got to move on to the Goudon, because the Goudon is very similar. And here's the problem. You've heard this story before.
Yeah.
The names and the places change, but the lyrics stay the same. So, in Goudon, around 1931, there was William McLean, a railroad worker.
Ah, William.
Yes, William, Willie McLean, the last of the Highlanders, apparently, because someone ganked him.
He was murdered.
Some versions of the story, he was murdered. Other versions of the story, it was an accident. But he ends up decapitated. That's why I'm making the joke about Highlander. There can be only one.
Oh, so it was a sword fight. Ah, yes.
Maybe.
We don't know, but that's my headcanon.
Your headcanon now they sword fought on the
William McClane.
Good old Billy McClane of the Highland Clan fought his enemy. Betrayed by, but you know what? You know, who would be in this knockoff version of Highlander? You know what? No. Irons. Jeremy Irons would be the bad guy.
Jeremy Irons? I would watch that, though. Like, even if it was knockoff Highlander. Because let's be real. Highlander isn't, like, high art or anything anyway.
No, it's not, but...
Oh, my God. Now, I'm getting sidetracked, but there...
Jeremy Irons wearing the armor that Clancy Brown wore in the first one.
That would be cool.
All right, we've now just created a new cryptid again.
Jeremy Irons in fucking armor, chopping people's heads off on the railroad.
So he ends up decapitated. Either he was beat to death with a shovel and decapitated, or he was beat to death with a spike maul. And a spike maul is the big heavy hammer that they drive the railroad spike through the timber with. Yeah, if you go Google it real quick, it's a nasty. Uh-huh. I shouldn't say it's a nasty. It's a big old hammer. That is, I believe the correct terminology for that is it's a big fuck off hammer. I believe would be the correct term, wouldn't it?
I believe. Oh, I don't spell maul right. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I've seen that. Yeah.
Let me see the picture real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big old hammer.
Imagine decapitating someone with that thing.
You hit him hard enough.
Not true.
But he was either beat to death with a shovel and decapitated or spike maul and decapitated. He was now, some versions he's just a railroad worker. Some versions he is a foreman for the Missouri Pacific. Now, the lantern, and this is the part of the story that is...
That gets...
It's his lantern looking for his head.
Okay, so it's not as convoluted as he went to heaven for a second chance and he blew it. And
No. It's not, you know, Jack O' Lantern or Will-O-Wisp or Hobbs or any of those. Like, there's...
Or Gene Lafitte's, like, henchmen.
Yeah, it's none of that. So, I mean, it's just him looking for his head. And that's just, we've all heard.
Yeah, that sounds like a Scooby-Doo thing. Like, it sounds like something you would see on Scooby-Doo.
I really want to use this in a Scooby-Doo-esque Monster of the Week kind of thing. Like,
that would be fun.
That would be fun. Now, here's the deal. If you replace McClane with an unnamed railroad worker, it's 100% the same story people tell at the Crossit situation. So, is it that they're... I mean, like I said, it's been documented. They've shown the light. But is it more of a psychosomatic carry-on, like it's here, so maybe it's here kind of thing? Maybe, but I mean,
I think stories just travel like that.
They do. Yeah. I mean, and that's what makes this kind of more like fall a little bit from just paranormal into urban legend for me, which I still kind of dig. Now, with this, let's go over some possible explanations for the ghost light that is in Crossit or possibly Gredon.
And
that
so, is Gredon's like documented, or is it?
Every time I Googled and watched a video, it said Crossit. But Gredon's is documented. Now, I didn't see anything that confirmed that a William McClane died.
Yeah, I figured that was just an urban legend, but I was wondering if the actual phenomenon was documented.
Yeah, there's people who've reported seeing it. Hmm. I mean,
of course, there are places where, you know, they'll have lights like that just pop up everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, so possible explanations for the ones that are in Arkansas that is not swamp gas. So we've already mentioned that with the Foo Follette and the Will-O-Wisp, that it could be a possibility that swamp gas has been released and ignited in an odd pattern. That's a good chance. Now, the most likely is going to be ball lightning following the rails, especially in Gredon where the railroad still is, because that stack electricity can build up and kind of move
along.
But the problem with ball lightning is it's more believable that it is a ghost than the situation to create ball lightning specifically.
Yeah.
I would believe it was a ghost before ball lightning is my personal opinion on that one.
The thing is, every time I hear about ball lightning, I never hear about actual... I've never seen like an actual documented case of ball lightning, but I've heard it being referred to as a real phenomenon.
Like, well, it is real, but like the situation to create it,
it's like very specific.
It's very specific from if I'm remembering correctly. And if I'm not, internet, let me know. But I, like I said, I believe it was a ghost before it was ball lightning. Another one that might work a little bit more for Gredon than Crossit is it is car lights reflecting off of the rails. Now, modern day, seeing that, that makes a lot of sense because of people who put in like the super halogen hyper white type crap.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, think about 1931, 1932, when people started reporting seeing these things. There were cars, but there weren't a ton of cars in our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
They'd been on the market about 20 years, but still, let's be honest. My grandparents remember when someone in town bought the first car, and they were born in the 1920s. Like, they remember being little kids and someone bought a car, and that was the first car that showed up in Johnson Station. I mean, like, today it makes a little bit more sense, yeah. But like the previous one. Now, my favorite one, no other details, no anything else with this, just aliens.
Of course. Like, that's...
Cue the hair.
Honestly, aliens is just the easy way out to explain anything.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Toxic Lady, aliens. What is it? The Skinwalker Ranch, aliens.
You know, the TV show is really garbage, but if any of the reports or any of the stories about that place are anywhere near true or factual, that place is freaky as hell to me. Like, just some of the stuff I've read. Like, it is its own creepypasta to me.
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's like Ed and Lorraine Warren. How much is this fucking fabricated?
And with them, it's damn near everything.
Yeah. That you know what? That is an episode I would like us to have as a discussion between the two of us about them. Even though it does not pertain to like backwoods or anything like this, because I have opinions and I have a hole to dig with the internet on that, because there's some people that still love them to death and think they're the best thing ever, but
that's a hole we'll dig for another day.
Yeah, we gotta go find the good shovel for that one.
We gotta go get two really good shovels,
because that's gonna probably be the one that gets us in trouble. So let me talk to you about the third one. That's actually down near Winnsboro in Franklin Parish here in Louisiana. Now, this is called the Green Light Bridge. Now, it's near LA 15, south of Winnsboro. This light has one specific color. It is a green light that appears on Green Light Road. Not super creative, but I mean, hey.
They're like...
If there's an aesthetic, this one is sticking to it.
Naming that road, they're like, hey, there's a green light over there. It's a green light road.
You will either see the light on the old bridge or on the bayou bank down below. So you'll see it in one of two places, like I said, on the bridge or down below. There's more sightings. Originally, there was an older bridge. Like, now the one that's there is concrete. But before it, there used to be a wooden one. And I don't have his name written down, but there was an interview with a resident that was been there forever. He said when the wooden bridge, the old bridge, was there, the ghost light would pop up a lot more. Now the newer one, the new concrete one, not as much. But the thing is that this road, Green Light Road, is mostly abandoned. It's torn up, and when I say it's torn up, I don't mean like torn up like most people would say a road's torn up. I mean torn up by Louisiana standards. Like, I'll even go this, because I've been up north where they deal with liquefaction and freezing from snow. This is worse than an Indiana road.
Okay, so if you've ever been to Louisiana, you can tell you're in Louisiana not by looking at signs, but by looking at the roads. Because immediately when you leave Louisiana, the roads get better. Especially if you're going to Texas.
That's also because they use better concrete, and our roads... All right, there's a whole patchet. I think there's more patches than roads in most of the roads in Louisiana.
Yeah, down the road where I work, they're doing quote-unquote patching up. And they're literally just cutting holes in the road and then filling it up with gravel. I don't know if they're going to repay them.
But they have to put some asphalt over it. The gravel's just used as substrate.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know.
I hope so. But, so, it's overgrown. There's an old abandoned church and there's an old abandoned cemetery near here too. So, this place is already giving me vibes that we need to go visit it. Because we've got a spooky bridge on a spooky road with a spooky church. And an abandoned graveyard. Like, all of this out kind of in the middle of nowhere, south of Winnsboro.
Oh, it has the makings of a horror movie.
Yeah, this sounds like the beginning of Jeepers Creepers, just a little bit.
And we're like, yeah, let's go down there.
Yeah, let's go do this. Mm-hmm. Now, something that's different about the light from the ones up in Arkansas is it doesn't disappear the closer you get to it. And it seems to have a little bit of an electronic phenomenon with it, because it can shut off your engine. Supposedly, people that drive out on the bridge trying to catch the light or see the light have reported their engine not starting when they see it. And, you know, the light gets closer and closer, and then the car all of a sudden comes on and they can reverse and get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of tropey, but had to include it because
it's one of those, you hear about it and it sounds like a scary story, but then when you really think on it, it's like, that sounds like some movie shit. Like,
yeah, it sounds
very tropey.
Now, there are three possible sources for this light, story-wise. Just, we've already mentioned with Gerdon and Crossit, you know, how, you know, what could be a possible explanation. Those still stand for this one. But here are the origin stories. So, early 1900s, man was in a car accident, got decapitated.
Of course.
So, again, light, looking for a head. Makes sense.
Yes, you do.
1950s, a lady hit a tree nearby the church and was thrown from the vehicle because she saw a ghost.
So it's a double ghost.
It could be a double ghost. Double rainbow.
But it's actually double ghost.
Double
I
ghost.
I think that dude died. The double rainbow
guy.
Oh,
no.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's double ghosts, and
so I mean, it could be this first dude's like, I'm looking for my head, and then this lady crashed, and now she's standing next to him like, you are an asshole, sir. And
have
he's
you
like,
seen
what?
My head?
I can't, just like, just signs, can't hear you.
Just slapping the
and
lady.
Now here's
to look
the one.
Around.
Here's the one that I got to give a little bit of a precursor, a little bit of a trigger warning for, and that leads into the one real life story I have with the Crossit light as well. So a little bit of trigger warning, a little bit of the problematic history of the South. That listeners be warned. In the early 1900s, someone was hung outside the church, and that means there was a lynching. So someone was lynched and hung outside the church, and it could be that ghost still wandering, you know, as an angry spirit. So all of these are pretty spooky, also, not yeah. gonna lie, standard Southern ghost story starters.
I mean, even that third one. I mean, I've heard that story before. I mean, like, someone was, like, wrongfully murdered, and then, like, usually racially motivated, and then they come back as, like, a spirit or specter. Hell, there's a movie franchise on it. It's Candyman.
Pretty much. But now, going from that, like, I would like to go to the Green Light Bridge. Mm. Mostly because that's maybe an hour, maybe less.
Mm. Yeah, I was looking up other places that I was, that I would want to visit, maybe other light places like that. And the other one I was thinking of was a popular one, Marfa Lights in Texas. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it's on the other side of Texas from us.
Oh, yeah, it's over in the West Texas.
It's over in West Texas, all the way near the border.
So you mean you drive through three whole states while you're still in Texas to get there?
Yeah, yeah.
For anyone outside the U.S. that ends up listening to this, it's Texas is roughly the same size as France.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, any case, this is, again, a little bit of a trigger warning. My father went to go see the Crossit light with a bunch of church members. So, their Bible study all loaded up in the church van. They drove up there because they wanted to see the ghost light.
I don't know. Okay, that is either the most rural or Southern thing to do. It's like, I'm going to go with my church group to go see some ghosts.
Yeah. So they go up there and they go to where the light's supposed to be. It's extremely rural. And they do see a light, and they did see some ghosts. But the light they saw was in the shape of a T and was on fire.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah, yeah. They ended up, I mean, this is early 90s. And if anybody listening thinks that, you know, me making a reference to the Klan is like, oh, no, they don't exist. It's like, in the early 90s, the state of Louisiana literally had the choice between a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, and Edwin Edwards, who had been robbing us blind for 20 years. Like, he literally ran on a campaign that said, vote for the lizard, not the wizard. So yeah, my father with the church group.
And David Duke is
yeah.
still a
yeah,
figure.
Yeah, it upsets me, because, like, all of a sudden, like, I'm having a good day, and then his name fucking pops up, and it's like former Louisiana governor candidate. I'm like, don't
lead with that.
Don't
lead with...
Louisiana can besmirch its name well enough on its own. You do not need to add him back into the equation. Yeah,
we
got
Landry. We don't
need... Oh, shit. Yeah. Let's not get on that one, though. Yeah. Any case, so yeah, they went up to go see the lights, and they...
They found it.
They found some ghosts, and they had to get out of there very quickly, because they don't take kindly to interlopers.
Oh, yeah. The thing is, too, people like to think of, like, the Klan, like, doing shit in secret, secluded places. It's like, no, no, if they're in, like, a rural town, they'll just do it out in the open.
Yeah, they can be loud about it in places. But in any case, so yeah, that's the one real life experience with the Cross at Light that I've heard about. I would like us to go down to the one that does not have that really associated with it, because it's closer.
And the one that has, I mean, it has a graveyard too, and abandoned church. So that's cool. I love tetanus.
This is how we get kidnapped by ghosts.
We get kidnapped by the double ghost.
Double your spooky, double your fun.
Just us running around an abandoned church like fucking Scooby-Doo with two ghosts trying to catch us.
Jesus.
No, but I've heard about these, like, some of these places vaguely. I wouldn't say any of those specific places, but I've heard about them because, you know, I've had friends that like to go out and do things, and I sometimes like to go out and do things with my old teenage friends when I was back, you know, hundreds of years ago when we were teenagers. The problem is, what their version of going out and having fun, maybe you can correct the record on this, and maybe I was just a curmudgeon, but they would get, just, like, do a bunch of drugs and do shit that would get us arrested, so.
See, I never went out doing that. I was the one that always picked everybody up when they were done.
Yeah,
and
so
I made money off of being the drunk taxi. That's what I did, but, yeah, I mean, the big thing is like, again, with so many of these urban legend stories or ones like this, you could simply write it off as kids got high in the woods and saw something weird and exaggerated.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's be honest. Someone that was high AF sees a flashlight coming through the woods.
They get freaked out. And even if it's like a group of kids, that's going to be like a psychosomatic thing where they're all...
Exactly.
It's like, oh, I see lights. We're all freaking out now. We're all thinking it's ghosts. And then as they're running away... They're, like, thinking about it and talking amongst themselves, and suddenly the story is like...
Oh, we saw a ghost.
We saw a headless man and some lady getting mad at him for...
running her over.
Yeah.
Or causing her to run off the road and hit a tree. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, but here's the deal. I don't believe any of these stories.
Mm.
I mean, there's a phenomenon... These phenomena can be explained. Also, everybody wants... Every parish, every county... has a scary story. And where's the easiest place to put it? On the railroad tracks. Why?
Or on a bridge.
Those are two places that are always going to be somewhere that an accident occurs.
Or it's some place that's abandoned that has sort of that liminal space vibe about it where there's nothing going on there anymore. So it gives that sort of creep factor right out the gate. Like, if you're going into an abandoned house, you feel kind of creeped out because you feel like something should be, like, a living place, right? Like, you go into a house and there should be things there, but...
Well, I mean, it's like at the beginning of every school year when I go into the building and there's no kids there yet, or I'm the only one in the science building. Yeah. There's always a creepiness to it because there should be an energy to the place that's just not...
Yeah. When I was in college, like, going for an art degree, oftentimes we would stay late to, you know, do art projects and everything and get stuff turned in. And you're walking down these hallways, especially in, like, the older buildings at our university, it gets kind of freaky. It makes sense.
So, I mean, but the thing is, these stories are going to always evolve. They're always going to pop up, and it adds to the flavor, it adds to the legends and the lore of the region you're in. So I feel, like I said, I don't believe them, but I think they are very much necessary, and I think it's a good story.
And think of all the ways that William has died. He's died twice by an angel. He was decapitated Or he would get into a immortal fight and got decapitated.
By Jeremy Irons.
By Jeremy Irons in iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, William's been around the...
Yeah, I mean, it's... You know what? Here we go.
Yeah.
This is again, trademark.
Just
the we're instead of the Highlander, we'll just call it the Ozarkian.
Oh, Lord. But seriously, though.
There can be only one.
Hey. There can be only one. You need to get over here. We're going to have this here duel.
Sir,
down the gun. This is with swords only.
Sir, are you trying to tread on me?
You will not tread on me.
All right, man. But that's the story of the Ghost Lights.
That's great. And I agree. We need to go down. We have some ideas on what going to visit some of the places we talk about, but definitely want to go down here because it would be a pretty easy trip.
Yeah, that one's be real easy. Also, we could go to Cretan Point. However you're supposed to pronounce it, Knox, don't at me. We'll come down and visit you. And then we can go by there, because that's down near Karen Crow and by them.
Hell yeah.
And always, as always, there is definitely somewhere in the future we need another trip down to New Orleans.
But thank you for this. It's always good to expand on something we've already talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good little follow-up and a nice little bit of flavor.
Yeah. So... So that was the podcast. If you want to find out anything else about what we do, we're usually Team Bonus Action on Twitch, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram. Are we on Instagram?
Instagram.
And Bonus_Team on Twitter. I'm not calling it X. We do weekly games of D&D usually, and we're looking to set up more stuff in terms of social media for this. We're going to see how things play out in the next couple of months.
Usually we update on what day?
We update every Tuesday. At least every Tuesday right now. We will see in the future, but it is always going to be a Tuesday.
It's going to update on Tuesday on most podcatchers. I know that we're on Spotify. We are on Audibles.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Audible. I'm looking to get a setup on Pandora and Apple. But most podcatchers we're going to be on by the end of the month. I don't know if this is coming out at the end of the month, but I'm going to have it set up by the time this episode comes out. So
cool. So you'll have a good one.
Yeah. Have a good night or day or, you know.
Have a good drive to work.